Jaima. So since it's on the eve of Darshan Day, and though I have something which I could read, but if there are questions, we can take that up and then read it. Or want some time before we can have questions, whatever way. If there is a question, we can take that up. Related to the mother, Sri Aurobindo and Darshan Day. So the passage which I thought we can read is I am with you, because it's relevant to the darshan. So this is from something written by the mother in response to a question. So the question is that when you say I am with you, what does it mean? And as always, extremely mentalized person, so he has asked a whole lot of questions. I am with you, what does it mean exactly? When we pray or struggle with a problem within ourselves, are we really heard? Always, in spite of our clumsiness and imperfection? This is a very well put question. Are we heard always in spite of ourselves? Because you may say, you know, this kind of prayer will be heard, that won't be heard. In spite even of our bad will and our error. And who hears? You who are with us. I must say the person has left no stone unturned to raise everybody's doubts. I mean, everybody means common thing. And is it you in your supreme consciousness, an impersonal divine force, the force of yoga? Are you, mother, in a body with your physical consciousness? So is there a difference? There is the mother who is supreme mother beyond. A lot of people have this idea that mother means we don't, physical mother, that's only a means. A real thing is that mother. And people ask Sri Aurobindo about it. And Sri Aurobindo says it's an adverse asuric maya which creates a distinction between this mother and that mother. And I'm reminded of a couplet from Kabir which people interpret in another way, but my spontaneous interpretation was very different. In one of the ashrams, somebody asked me, what do you have to say about it? So I know what is his interpretation, so I gave mine. So the couplet is, Ek Ram Dashrath ka beta, Ek Ram hai jagat pasara, Ek Ram ghat ghat ka vasi, Ek Ram hai sabse nyara. So he wanted to say, people who worship Ram and all that, this is not the real, the real Ram is sabse nyara. So I said, he asked me, I said, you have missed the most important element in the poem, that is Ek. I said, it's the same Ram who is the transcendent. Sabse nyara is transcendent. It's the same Ram who is universal, who is jagat pasara. It is the same Ram who is in every aspect of creation, ghat ghat ka vasi, immanent. And it's the same Ram who has become the son of Dashrath, Ek Ram Dashrath ka beta. So you see, human mind creates a division, distinction for various reasons. We need not go into it. So he has asked, who hears? Is it you in your physical consciousness or in your supreme? A personal presence that really knows each thought and each act, and not some anonymous force. And other day we were discussing so many stories of mother, how she knew everything. And sometimes she would ask playfully. So, and if the person says, mother, you know already. He says, yes, I know. I want to see how much you know. Do you know your thoughts? Can you tell us how, in what way you are present with us? Sri Aurobindo and you, it is said, from one form one and the same consciousness. But is there a personal presence of Sri Aurobindo and your personal presence, two things distinct, each playing its own particular role? So this is very, quite naturally, the, like in today's times, always most important questions. So the mother starts by saying, I am with you because I am you or you are me. The most profound Vedantic truth. I am you. Divine has become everything. He knows about himself. I am you. And then our own secret truth is, you are me. Thou art that. Aham Brahmasmi. Tattvamasi. How beautifully she just passingly says, I am with you. That signifies a world of things. Because I am with you on all levels, on all planes, from the supreme consciousness down to my most physical consciousness. So it's one reality. If it is only supreme consciousness, you'll be unconcerned what we are doing. The normal karmic law will apply, the rules and regulations of earthly life. And she's there. In distress, you can send a call. But she says she knows, and so many people have had this experience. I myself. Even at the most physical, suddenly something stops, prevents you. And as if she's just there and you didn't notice it. Here, we all come to Pondicherry. People often ask, when I had come, I had not seen the mother with these physical eyes. So somebody asked me, he said, now that the mother is not there, I said, how can you say so? You have lived with mother. She has been so close to you. I said, I have never felt that mother is not there. Always I have felt. And that's why we come. There is a difference. Why would people come? They come from across the seven seas. Something they feel. So she says, here in Pondicherry, you cannot breathe without breathing my consciousness. So beautiful it is. And people can make out, and it's so, like, at least I travel so much and I see that, you know, the difference as you go. She is present everywhere, but there is a difference. You may go to the best of the places in the world outwardly, but there is something very special which is there in the very atmosphere of this place. It saturates the atmosphere most, almost materially, in the subtle physical, and extends to the lake 10 kilometers from here. Further, my consciousness can be felt in the material vital, then on the mental plane and the other higher planes everywhere. This is at least my experience very clearly. By the time you go to US, you can feel it only here. That was my first experience when I came. I still remember going out and I felt suddenly as if I have lost. So, 7 days down the line, and my host felt something is amiss. So they asked me, Alukda, you need something? They thought I want to buy something. I said, no, I'm missing Pondicherry. I sounded like a little baby crying for his mother. So I said only this much. Oh, you must be missing good South Indian food. Took me to a Udupi restaurant. I said, abhi kya bolo? What do I say? Took me, I ate there, but I couldn't convey what I am missing. So when I came, I had slept off in the flight, when the flight was coming from the second leg of the flight, Singapore to here, Cathay Pacific, and suddenly somewhere in the middle I woke up and I felt, all as if I have entered mother's atmosphere. Mother has spoken about it, so I'm just saying that even now one can experience it. And within couple of minutes the pilot announces, we are flying over Andamans. I said, India, that's what it means. And first time in my life when I landed in Chennai, it was my first trip to the US, and I felt everything is so beautiful. Heat is wonderful. People are, of course, people are very nice generally down, but everything is so wonderful. It was like I felt like hugging everyone, and I had to restrain myself ki they will say, chalo thoda psychiatrist ko dikha. So it is something you can experience. It's different that people get used to it, so sometimes they may just forget what it means. It was very sudden. And then she says, when I came here for the first time, she describes the atmosphere of Sri Aurobindo, which she felt entering the atmosphere. Just living and breathing. This is the story someone told me of a lady. She was telling me that when I came, mother used to give balcony darshan in the morning, and she could not get up in the morning and go. So she kept sleeping. So she felt a lot of guilt. So after a few days, she wrote to the mother, "Mother, I am so sorry, I keep sleeping and I am unable to come for your darshan in the morning." Mother says, "So what? Daughters come to their mother's place to take rest." This lady herself told me, "Daughters come to their mother's place to take rest. It's perfectly fine." So just imagine what kind of love saturates here. "It is now long since Sri Aurobindo has put up everywhere in the ashram the reminder that you all know." In fact, this was the only rule of the ashram which was told, because people ask, "There is no rule. Please give us some rule." Human beings have their operating system of rules, do's and don'ts. Sri Aurobindo never gave. It's very interesting. Yam Niyam. And there's a logic to it. I mean, spiritual logic. When someone asks someone in the Raman ashram that there are rules everywhere. Here also you have rules. Gents, separate queue. Girls, separate queue. And all this. In ashram, the only rules are timings. They are not rules. You have to eat, so there has to be collective thing. So how come in Sri Aurobindo ashram they don't have rules? And that person in Raman ashram gave a wonderful reply. He said, "Oh, they are divine beings. They can do it." That's how Vasishtha Ganpati Muni had remarked. Divya Murtulu. He had the darshan. He said, "That is divine. That is something it is not." So he can afford to. He said, "They can afford to put ghee and fire together and take care. We can't do it." And even now you go to any ashram, so many rules will be there to prevent mishaps. So what is the rule? Ashram rule. Always behave as if the mother was looking at you, because she is indeed always present. How wonderful this is. This is not a mere phrase, not simply words. It is a fact. "I am with you in a very concrete manner, and they who have a subtle vision can see me." Again, so many examples, so many persons' experiences. How she is there concretely, how she intervenes when it is required. And otherwise, as long as the action has to go through our own ego and whatever it has to learn in life lessons, she will allow you to do. But she is there whenever you need, whenever, or if you are going into a very hopeless situation, then she will intervene. And there are so many stories, I am sure, in everybody's life, and I am just resisting the temptation because it will be a whole Purana. You can write a Purana on that, you know, just how Mother and Sri Aurobindo intervene. "In a general way, my force is there, constantly at work, constantly shifting the psychological elements of your being to put them in new relations." This is how one can look at the action of the yoga. We do not realize sometimes that how she changes things inside, gently, subtly, softly, at the right time, preparing us through our defects, through our difficulties. She doesn't do like do's and don'ts, because there are many things which are don'ts which have the capacity to become something very positive. That's why she doesn't do arbitrarily. And gently, you don't realize that how you have come a long way simply by an act of faith. "And defining to yourself the different facets of your nature, so that you may see what should be changed, developed, rejected." First she will make us conscious, and then you put an effort to reject it, and then you take her help. "Mother, I cannot do it myself." So then a different action starts. There is a story in the gymnasium. So a person was lifting the weight, so he lifted some whatever 40 kg. He said, "I cannot." She said, "You try a little more." Then she put 10 kgs more. He tried. Again, that he did beyond it, he said, now I just cannot. So mother says, okay, now you wait for a moment, quiet, concentrate. Now you think I am lifting the weight. And then she put more weights. And he lifted it. Just imagine, you know, because see, it's not about, okay, leave it. But to develop your capacity, step by step she does it. Takes us from the hand, by the hand, from kindergarten onwards, takes us through. But that apart, so this is in general, just coming to this place, breathing this atmosphere, anybody unconditional. In one of the places she reveals to Monada, it's there in the book, I think I'm with you. She says, those who come near the Samadhi, plenty of people come, you know, people who you will see coming, and sometimes people get very worked up that, you know, why is such a crowd coming? Are people are coming, they are coming, that's it. So she says, there are many who just go around, they don't know anything. Funny stories, they will go around looking for, sometimes they ask, bas yehi hai. Somebody asked me once, that's all. I said, isko sambhal lo, baki baat mein dekhenge. Yeah, this is it. They don't understand. They want to go to the doors. Itna hi hai, itna bahut hai. So, you know, they ask the mother. She says, doesn't matter. If you go around the samadhi, the supramental force is, though it is everywhere, but it is very intense here. It's there in a collected works also. She says, how many of you are conscious when you go around the samadhi, the supramental vibrations which are very intense. She has said the same thing in a slightly different way. She says, it is so intense and it doesn't matter whether you are open, not open, you like, you dislike, it is just irrelevant. It's like you stand below the sun, you will feel the heat. You believe in the sun, you may be blind, you don't believe, all this becomes irrelevant. So, she says that. And it is well understood. But that apart, there is a special personal tie between you and me. Now people may say, okay, Pondicherry ka bahut ho gaya. What about we living in Bombay, living abroad? There should be something for that, no? She says, there is a special personal tie between you and me, between all who have turned to the teaching of Sri Aurobindo and myself. She is not speaking of doing the yoga. She has made a distinction elsewhere in two more places. Turn toward the teaching and doing the yoga. And she says there are many intellectual disciples who have turned toward the teaching, but doing yoga is a serious business. It's, by that I mean that the amount of sincerity, self-giving does not come naturally and easily to human nature, at least in the beginning or for a long time. So she says all who have turned toward the teaching, and it is well understood, distance does not count here. You may be in France, you may be at the other end of the world, or in Pondicherry. This tie is always true and living. And each time there comes a call, each time there is a need for me to know so that I may send out a force, an inspiration, a protection, or any other thing, a sort of message comes to me all of a sudden and I do the needful. I'm sure plenty of us have plenty of things. These communications reach me evidently at any moment, and you must have seen me more than once stop suddenly in the middle of a sentence or work. It is because something comes to me, a communication, and I concentrate. So this is because she was in a physical body. Otherwise, she says, without that, though it becomes much easier. She says that after Sri Aurobindo withdrew from the physical body, gross physical, it has become much more easier. Simultaneously, he is responding to so many. This is what she has said. But when you are in the physical body, you have to stop. And there are so many interesting stories. One of them was one person, Kanak Ganguly, and he was telling me, he said that one day when he went for pranam, mother had odd time suddenly while giving, her hand would be in the air and she would vanish. So he says that day, because I was there, suddenly as her hand had lifted, and her hand, she kept the hand on the shoulder, my shoulder. So 45 minutes mother was somewhere. I said, let me touch your shoulder. They're the closest. And people have seen, suddenly she would go and blind would be waiting. And there are times, there is a famous story when people at night, midnight, 11, 11, 10, 10 o'clock, waiting for the mother to come down. And mother went into a kind of trance. She had these calls, she had work to do of various kinds and people are waiting. Now, Sri Aurobindo is aware of everything. So, Sri Aurobindo asked Champak Lal Ji, has the mother come? He says, yes, but she is in trance. Then they are waiting. So, they waited till 12:30, 1 o'clock. Then Sri Aurobindo says, tell them to go. And then this, they go away. Suddenly, mother comes out. Oh, I have to go here. And mother, it's okay. You can. And she knew that kind of, you know, work that she was doing. And people had the audacity to ask her all kinds of things. That you don't have any special will because you want nothing. This is our conception. She says, yes, I want nothing, but I am here to fulfill the divine will, which is manifested in Sri Aurobindo. She says, I want nothing personally means I don't have a will. It is the divine will which has to be fulfilled and based on that I act. With those whom I have accepted as disciples. This is what we were talking about. So disciples has accepted, there was never any formal initiation in the ashram. Never. The only initiation mother has spoken about. When I say I have initiated someone, it means I have revealed myself to that person. She bypassed everything. You get that sense that she is the divine mother. That's it. Otherwise, you may see her, you may say, wonderful lady, no, Sri Aurobindo has said about her, so I respect. But the day you get this flash that she is the divine mother, for no reason, no, there is no logic to it. You don't know anything about her life, all these things. That's the disciple. This is the difference. So she says, those whom I have accepted as disciple, there is more than a tie. So the first one is anyone, turn toward the teaching. It's unconditional. There is an emanation of me. This emanation wants me whenever it is necessary and tells me what is happening. So it becomes a two-way process. She actually keeps a watch. Indeed, I receive intimations constantly, but not all are recorded in my active memory. I would be flooded. The physical consciousness acts like a filter. So this is the problem. She had taken a physical body for a certain purpose. And the body served that purpose. But as the individual mother, which is who she is, that always remains. Things are recorded on a subtle plane. They are there in a latent state. Something like a piece of music that is recorded without being played. And when I need to know with my physical consciousness, I make contact with this subtle physical plane and the disc begins to turn. Then I see how things are, their development in time, the actual result. She has spoken about some of the past incarnations. Once in France when she said, oh my God, all that they have spoken in history is really not true. And once there was a movie being shown on Jhansi Ki Rani and Chandradeep Ji was sitting. So he looks back at mother, she says, yes, I was there. But there are things they are showing which is not true. She never told what were the things. So because it's all there inside her, she can bring it out. She will not, you'll be flooded like an encyclopedia. And if for some reason you write to me asking for my help and I answer, I am with you, it means that the communication with you becomes active. You come into my active consciousness for a time, for the time necessary. And this tie between you and me is never cut. There are people who have long ago left the ashram. We know there is an instance of Dilip Kumar Roy. He left, he wrote against the mother. Not only he left, he wrote against the mother. For 14 years, the mother kept the room. And people asked her mother, give to someone because he's right next. above the dispensary. So now it's, I think, given to. So mother said, every night his psychic being comes to rest here. So the state of the outer being and the state of the inner being are so different. She would not give. And he couldn't understand. Much later he understood. So people were revolted and gone away. Barinda, another story, in 60s or somewhere around that time, he met mother's husband who left and went away. And Dilip Kumar Roy has recorded this. Strangely, still he did ended up doing what he did. And he says that they were having a discussion, and Barinda says that, I was a fool that I came away, because he couldn't accept that now you have to go through the mother. My sejda, so anytime, but Shobindo after 26 it was, come through the mother. He couldn't bear it, the ego. Motilal Roy, he also, they left. And he says, I left, I know it was my ego, but I know that she has not left me. This was his statement, because you get it, so that sense. And mother is confirming this. There are people who have long ago left the ashram in a state of revolt, and yet I keep myself informed of them. I attend to them. You are never abandoned. There is a story where once mother asked Monada to bring a list of those who were with him in the freedom struggle. So he says, there is no such list, but I have a list of the people who were during that time in the freedom struggle who were convicted. So there were plenty of people. So, okay, bring me that list. And as she went through the list, he would say, this was with, he was with Sri Aurobindo, like that. She noted everybody, including people who had died and departed. Two of them who were hanged. And then the mother says, he asks, mother, how did you know? She says, even on their names, there is blue light of Sri Aurobindo. Still, he is protecting them. We don't get to know. And it's something which goes through lives. This is what this story is. In truth, I hold myself responsible for everyone, even for those whom I have met only for 1 second in my life. Karmic law goes for a toss. I hold myself responsible. At once someone in a conversation, this from Life in Sri Aurobindo Ashram by, who is that person? Name starts with N. Their book is available. So you see, it's very interesting. All these are not, you know, they are all documented. So he says, someone came to talk to the mother and he complained about something in the ashram. So mother kept quiet, and then she went after some time in the washroom, and then people around asked her, mother, you became quiet. She said, I started looking inside me that where is the defect in me because of which this has happened. And Sri Aurobindo has said that it is like a blow to her when you speak ill of people who are, you know, because she takes it on herself. And there are so many stories where she takes it on herself. Even Champaklalji somewhere mentions that once he started scratching very much her hand, and someone asked her, mother, what happened? He said, no, somebody in the ashram is indulging in violent sexual activity, and it would come to her. All this she was taking. She was not blaming anyone, complaining anyone, because she is the mother. She was looking inside. They are all parts of my being have gone. She holds herself responsible. Where I have read so much of spiritual literature, stories of saints, sages. Nowhere I have heard this statement. Everybody gives you a method, some technique, and you have the karma and you have the law of karma. What is she saying? In truth, I hold myself responsible for everyone, even for those whom I have met only for 1 second in my life. And that's why we see the notice which used to be the only notice which was put in the ashram for a very long time. When you have nothing pleasant to say about someone or something in the ashram, stay quiet. This silence is faithfulness to the divine. Yes. In dining room, I think even in ashram now they have put it on the notice board. And then she is answering about Sri Aurobindo. She says, now remember one thing, Sri Aurobindo and myself are one and the same consciousness. One and the same person, only when this force or this presence, which is the same, passes through your individual consciousness, it puts on a form, an appearance which differs according to your temperament, your aspiration, your need, the particular turn of your being. Generally, you will see that people who are more intellectualized, proud of the mind, they have a natural turning towards Sri Aurobindo. Turning by that I mean an intellectual. Whereas those who are more heart-centered, they open to the mother very naturally. And Sri Aurobindo has said the same thing, that the only difference is I work from the higher regions of the mind, pressing through the mind, creating an opening there, and the mother works from the psychic center. This is the primary difference. But it's the same force, but the Mahavakya of Sri Aurobindo is very clear. He says, someone asked him that, you know, is there a difference? He says, if you turn to the mother, you will receive my force, because the mother is my force. But if you turn to me, because he asked, it must be the same thing. But if you turn to me alone, then the proposition is doubtful. You will receive just about 25%, because it has to still go through her. There is no other channel. It will go through the mother. Now, if you are close to the mother and closed and open to Sri Aurobindo, so the force will, because it has to still go through her, that process will not change. That's why in the ashram, this was the difficulty that people had, Barinda and all these people who went away. Because you have to go to the mother. And sure, there are letters of Sri Aurobindo. I am not willing to change this arrangement, because this is the truth of things. Ishwara and the Shakti. So you have to go through that. If you are not ready, you are not ready. There are people whom Sri Aurobindo, even someone said he is a very great disciple of yours. But he doesn't accept the mother. Sri Aurobindo's reply is, if he doesn't accept the mother, then what kind of a disciple is he? By great disciple, people feel that, you know, sitting in meditation, reading all the books, having intellectual discussions. Mother, that's the secret of the yoga. Your individual consciousness is like a filter, a pointer, if I may say so. It makes a choice and fixes one possibility out of the infinity of divine possibilities. She is not saying all that, because obviously she won't say, you know, you remember, you should turn to me. Sri Aurobindo's letters are there. In reality, the divine gives to each individual exactly what he expects of him. Now she is revealing a very profound truth. How important is our faith? So, and you'll be surprised, this, there are people in the ashram who have lived since 60s. And one day the person said very loosely, I was present there, mother will punish him. I said, excuse me, what you are saying? Do you know what you are saying? Then I kept quiet, because very senior sadhaks. I just pointed, please read this. I am with you. What does she say? In reality, the divine gives to each individual exactly what he expects of him. If you believe that the divine is far away and cruel, the moment you say divine punishes, it means I believe the divine can punish, will punish, is cruel. So what happens then? If you believe the divine is far away and cruel, he will be far away and cruel. Because it will be necessary for your ultimate good that you feel the wrath of God. So, he will be Kali for the worshipper of Kali and beatitude for the Bhakta. And he will be the all knowledge of the seeker of knowledge, the transcendent impersonal of the illusionist. He will be atheist with the atheist. So how is he atheist? He hides. Atheist says, I don't believe in God. He said, go. Fine. He will hide. He will hide in matter. Because that's your faith. So even when divine is present in front of you, you won't be able to see or understand or accept. That's exactly what happened to, you know, Duryodhan, that when Shri Krishna goes, he says, Mayavi tha. He did his maya and went away. Because you will not understand. Even when there is a living miracle taking place, you won't understand. You will say it happens by chance. So, he will be brotherly. Oh, he will be atheist with the atheist and the love of the lover. He will be brotherly and close. A friend, always faithful. You see, these are small little sentences. See how mother has framed. She is not saying that you be faithful to the divine. Which is, she has written elsewhere, be faithful. Champaklalji used to give. Here she is saying, divine will be faithful to you. Who can imagine that? And now we can understand the stories of Ramayana, where, you know, Ravan gets very angry and we are so stupid. We even say Vibhishan till now. Ghar ka bedhi lanka dai. Are, it was not about ghar ka bedhi. He was doing something for truth. So when Ravan fires a most deadly arrow at Vibhishan, that he is the fellow who must be killed. So Rama immediately comes in front. He puts him behind and takes the whole impact on his own chest. That's the way of the divine. When he says he is faithful, what he does? Always ready to succor for those who feel him as the inner guide of each movement at every moment. And if you believe that he can wipe away everything, he will wipe away all your faults, all your errors, tirelessly, and at every moment you can feel his infinite grace. The divine is indeed what you expect of him in your deepest aspiration. Mother, there is Utkat karma, there is Prarabdha karma. She has said that, this is a whole conversation. She said, there is nothing like that. Karma can be completely wiped away. Even the most dastardly karma, which is of suicide, can be wiped away. And she gives the example. Whose example? She gives the example of Satprem and Sujata. Both of them had committed suicide in the previous two lives. In this life, she says, Sujata had no trace of it. It was just wiped away because she was born so fortunately in a family completely turned. So from childhood, that trace was not there. But with Satprem, that trace was there. So he would get this urge of going away, wanderlust, even of, you know, and mother would explain to him all this. And once she even tells him, you have an egoistic illness. That, you know what is the problem? You are suffering from egoism. Acute egoism. So, because that's what suicide is about. And then she finally wipes it away. And very interestingly, there is a conversation is there in the agenda. Where she says, sometimes all that is necessary is to just an aspiration to allow the divine to act. Just one aspiration, because otherwise the impact of suicide lasts for 3 to 7 lives. It chases like a snake behind your trail. So just an aspiration and the grace acts. Then she says, even if there is no aspiration, even faith is enough. Because this thing allows some point of support. Means you can't just turn your eyes away and then you have to go through the process. And Sri Aurobindo also says that there are these three things. One is the law of karma, which is the standard thing. Then there is divine compassion. So divine compassion enters into the net of karma and picks out, mitigates, saves, wherever there is, for whatever reason, the compassion operates. And then he says, but the greatest of all is grace, which can completely remove things. This is letter, that there are these three things, law of karma, then divine compassion, which acts within the net of karma and takes away. And then the divine grace, which has the capacity to wipe away everything. And this was again asked to the mother in her collected works. She says, yes, it is true. Later on, somebody told her, mother, this too blanket a thing. She says, okay, tell them that, well, if you don't keep repeating it, this is there, all in collected works. At one place, this again documented, you'll see it in one of her writings in Agenda. She says, Sri Aurobindo came and told me, she's saying this, that don't tell them that they can do anything and you are going to take care of everything. You can, but don't tell them this. And she is talking about it. So this is the mother whose birthday we are going to celebrate day after tomorrow, observe. And when you enter into this consciousness where you see all things in a single look, now she is revealing, like, you know, to Arjun, Sri Krishna is revealing who he is. The infinite multitude of relations between the divine and men, you see how wonderful all that is in all details. You can look at the history of mankind and see how much the divine has evolved according to what men have understood, desired, hoped, dreamed, and how he was materialist with the materialist, and how he grows every day and becomes nearer, more luminous according as human consciousness widens itself. So often people ask this question, but it is not there in scriptures. So at least I tell them, yes, it was not there in scripture. They have written the rewritten the rules of the game, and this was asked to Sri Aurobindo also, that has the divine changed his plan? This little conversation, then he says, yes, the divine can change the plan. He can change the law if he wants. So it is true that there are things which are not in the scripture, which are there in Sri Aurobindo and the mother, because they are rewriting the rules of the game. Nobody can become a supramental creation by the law of karma. It's just an impossibility. Or your own effort. Sri Aurobindo's words. You cannot do it by any human tapasya. So the rules of the game, and I can only, should I, shouldn't I? Maybe I can, since it has come spontaneously. There was a whole experience when Sri Aurobindo and the mother are there, and there is a whole world which has been created in which people are going, living there. I have a glimpse of that world, and I can just live there. And I say, but you know, there are people on earth, they are suffering, and you know, I feel maybe attached or something should be done. She said, yes, yes, you go. Whomever you promise, tell them, they will come. I said, what? He said, it doesn't matter. I said, good things, bad things, it doesn't matter. Mother smiles, says, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's done. It's like a blanket. What I felt that time was a blanket power that they are holding within themselves. What we are, what we have been, it doesn't matter. That kind of power, that yes, they will come. This, like, it's a glimpse of the new world, but that's a wonderful story. Each one is free to choose. This is a problematic thing. Only, but without free choice you cannot evolve. That's the whole difficulty. Otherwise we'll become automatons. That's why this little caveat is free to choose. I have prayed to mother, mother, take away this choice fellow from you. Choose. I don't want to choose. Even if I choose stupid things, you please overrule. That she has said, that is allowed. You make a choice, that I'll make stupid choices, but you know everything, please overrule all my choices. There's a prayer like that of Saint Kabir. He says, I in my ignorance ask so many things from you. You grant only that which you think I should have. And if you think I should not have it, don't grant me. There's a very beautiful line in Savitri. Heaven's wiser love rejects the mortal's prayer. I said, thank God, there is hope. Otherwise, the kind of things we ask, heaven's wiser love rejects the mortal's prayer. The perfection of this endless variety of relations of man with God throughout the history of the world is an ineffable marvel. See, this is the beauty. People talk about history. We have all kinds of history of kings, and only India has documented history of relation between man and God. Only and only India. That's what we are reading. Puranas is all about the story of relation of man and God. Many things must be happening outwardly. Tomorrow probably we'll read one of the stories of Prithu, King Prithu. How? It's all about relation between man and God. So many people don't understand how it is history. This is the real history. This is something happening behind the scenes, or maybe few people doing it. And because of that, India, despite everything, comes back and bounces back. India's story is not written by historians who observe only outer things. It is the story of the soul. So she says that if you read the history of the world, it is an ineffable marvel. And all that together is only 1 second of the total manifestation of the divine. And finally she says, the divine is with you according to your aspiration. Naturally, that does not mean that he bends to the caprices of your outer nature, that I divine will give me whatever I ask. That's not aspiration. That's hatha dharmita. Aspiration, not like, oh, he'll give me this, he'll give me that. We should be very careful, that subtle difference. I speak here of the truth of your being, what is deep within us as an aspiration. And yet, sometimes he does fashion himself according to your outer aspiration. This someone asked Sri Aurobindo, why does the divine sometimes give things which end up giving pain? She says, that's the only way for you to understand. But you were asking for the wrong thing. And there's so many stories. Someone once very suffered a lot in his marriage life. Not the only one, but nevertheless. No, there are certain universal truths. But so he was telling me, he completely got distraught. And you know, he said, see, when I went to the mother and approached her that, you know, I want to marry this girl or whatever it was, she has written blessings. So I said, yes, she has also said my blessings are very dangerous. So, and blessings were with a condition. He said, yes, that is true. I said, she must have told you something. He said, yes, she told me you should treat her like a princess. I said, did you do that? Oh, Baba, I can't. I didn't want to get married. I said, see, she was teaching you. First you learn surrender and tapasya, then you come. You didn't do what mother said. She said, yes, I didn't do what mother said. I said, so? You were supposed to treat her like a princess. Now you understand why you are in this situation. So he got reconciled that, yes, I didn't do what mother... She actually told him that you treat her like a princess. For whatever reason. Yeah. So he says, and yet sometimes he does fashion himself according to your outer aspiration. And if, like the devotees, you live alternately in separation and union, ecstasy and despair, the divine also will separate from you and unite with you. He'll put a veil according as you believe. See, Meera, some of the bhajans are like that. Jo mein aiso janati, preet ki ye dukh hoye, nagar dindora peet thi, preet na ki jo koye. Eri mein to prem diwani, mero darad na jane koye. She was going through these phases. And he will take you through that till you realize that there is nothing else but she. The attitude is thus very important, even the outer attitude. People do not know how important is faith, how faith is miracle, creator of miracles. If you expect, then finally she gives us the ultimate. If you expect at every moment to be lifted up and pulled towards the divine, he will come to lift you and he will be there quite close, closer, ever closer. This eternal truth remains relevant always. Okay, Jai Ma.